This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You have Corey Majors back in the studio. You've got Alec Medford. Unfortunately, the famous Mike Bacsik is not with us today. He will be back on Monday, despite the spurious rumors that Sean and RJ were trying to start. He will return on Monday, and we are just 5 days away from Peace-a-thon.
Do you count it down like that?
Yes,
like,
I do. Actually, I
just know it's next week. That's a
I don't count it down like that. I count it down like this. We got 5 days. I got a lot of stuff that we need to fine tune and tweak and work on.
Are still a lot of things to accomplish.
That is true.
And I'll probably try and cram them all in on Tuesday. You know, that's kind of how I'll do that.
Okay.
Tuesday, I'll go. I got to go get all the things for the wheel. Because we're going to roll the wheel out this year. My goal, Kevin, this year is for the wheel is if we meet certain donation numbers, not the auction items box,
yes,
but the donation numbers. Because some people are like, look, man, I don't want to bid on these things. I don't really want that, but I would like to donate. If we reach some of those numbers, we will be doing some Wheel of Misfortune stuff.
I mean, I like the donations. The Wheel of Misfortune.
It's for the people, Kevin.
You're right.
It's for the
people. You're right. It is for the people. I like it very much. So on Tuesday, leading into Peace-a-thon, we'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Addison. But today, we're at Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington in the shadow of AT&T Stadium. Though, honestly, considering the way the Cowboys are playing, I think that stadium is in the shadow of us and Buffalo Wild Wings. Let's start things off. You want to do some NFL overreaction or reality?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's do some.
Nick Chubb is back, baby.
NFL overreaction or reality. Alec, if you would like to weigh in on these as well, I would very much appreciate it. Overreaction or reality, no matter how good the Steelers record gets from here on out, you do not take them seriously because they lost to both the Browns and the Cowboys.
I woke up this morning with a bit of a smile on my face because last night they fall to the Browns.
In the snow!
In the snow, and it was one of those games that I was like, oh, this is going to be a boring game. It's because, A, it's Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
Yeah.
But then I saw Nick Chubb get into the end zone. I was like, that is like classic Nick Chubb and the Browns right there. That's what they do so well. I don't take them serious right now because, well, here's the thing, though. Ross Tucker, you know our friend Ross Tucker. He was on a show, I believe, up in Cleveland. And they were like, hey, man, the Browns have a culture problem. He was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't think they have a culture problem. I think they've had injuries. And he was like, I don't think there's, like, really any problems with their culture. And then during the game last night, he was like, yeah, look at this game right here. They're all rallying together to try and play spoiler.
Yeah.
Like that's not a culture problem. There are other things that could be a factor there, but that's not a culture problem. They got a quarterback problem for sure. Did they find their quarterback with Jameis Winston last night?
I mean, with the hype speeches, definitely.
So, with Pittsburgh, it's like, hey, man, you did lose, but it's a division game. Those games are always throw out the record book, yada, yada, yada stuff. So,
NFL overreaction or reality? You will watch or listen to all the rest of the Cowboys games this season.
That's a reality.
That's where I'm at, too.
Now, will I listen to or watch every second of them? When it gets late in games, I might be like, okay, I've seen enough.
Yeah.
They'll be on, but and whenever I get in the car and drive to go anywhere, I'll listen to Brad Sham and Babe Laufenberg. And you know what? I will absolutely flip on the post-game show to hear Broaddus and Zach Woolchuk kind of, you know, breaking down what they're going through. But it does feel like it's a lot of draft focus now from here on.
Yeah.
Like, where do the Cowboys want to look? What are their needs? And that's what, you know, Jerry said that yesterday. It's not about, you know, trying to look for the future anymore. It's more about, you know, trying to win now. I disagree with him because they have to start looking at next year. They have to start watching these guys and going, do I really want that player back on this team next year?
Alec, where do you fall with this? Will you be watching and listening to every single Cowboys game this season?
I will, and I almost want to say against my will, but no, it's what we signed up for. It's what we do. But, you know, I'm kind of with Corey. Like, am I going to be as intent and as focused? Probably not, because I kind of know what to expect going forward, especially if Cooper Rush is the quarterback. Now, if you made the quarterback change and said, you know, Trey Lance is going to be the QB the rest of the way, am I expecting you to win games? No, but at least we're getting something different, and there would be some intrigue, even if it's just for a week. I'd be like, you know what? We're actually going to pay attention to every little fine detail, see if they try to tweak some things, see if there's something there. Maybe you can recoup something that you gave up for a certain quarterback on the roster. So I'm not going to watch as intent, but it's reality. I am going to watch every game still.
NFL overreaction or reality, the Jets need to just cease the Aaron Rodgers experiment. Just go ahead and do it right now. Like, what are we even doing?
So that they can throw their backup quarterback in there? Like, what's the...
Your quarterback right now has no future with this team, so let's just see what else we can do.
Yeah, and that seems like a good idea, but I want to know if you're rolling out there without... I mean, it's kind of like with Mike McCarthy, right?
Go ahead and move on or whatever.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor's the next option.
Not in a bad way.
So it's Tyrod Taylor. Like, it's the same thing essentially, except for younger, maybe. But yeah, I don't know. Let's let it finish out with that thing. But you do have a sour taste in a lot of young players' mouths. Garrett Wilson, Sauce. There are a lot of young players on that team that are still sitting there going, it's still the quarterback that's the problem. We were told this dude was going to come save our team, and now we got nothing to show for it.
Yeah. Alec, what say you?
I don't know where you would look. So I say, like, you're paying him so much, you just keep playing him. I'd say it's overreaction for now. Do you give up after the season? Absolutely. Yes. That thing is destined for failure. And really, that whole team just seems unmotivated. It seems like a mess. You see the reports from The Athletic about how Woody Johnson has handled things in the front office and how he kind of took everything under his own power and said, I'm going to run this place, not the general manager, even though I thought the general manager sucked. But I think the whole team has been bad. I mean, like, everybody's joking, like, Sauce Gardner, he's supposed to be one of the best corners in the league. We got to start calling him Ahmad, his real name, because he's not Sauce anymore. He's been bad.
Like, yeah, I want him to be good.
I want him to be good, too, because he is that good. But the whole team seems like they're like, ah, let's just mail it in. We got Cancun coming up here in a few months.
NFL overreaction or reality, Bo Nix will win the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Now, he's still a pretty hefty underdog to Jaden Daniels, about minus 400 to plus 400, about minus 500 to plus 400. What say you guys? I heard somebody say reality in the crowd.
Yeah, yesterday somebody texted in, maybe it was him, that, hey, that was his preseason pick for Rookie of the Year. And he was like,
good.
I'm just letting y'all know I'm still sticking to that.
Looking good.
I got to give Sean Payton some credit, man. Like, I did not expect Bo Nix to be moving this quickly into it. In the preseason, we were like, hey, man, there's some good qualities about it, and he's figured it out. And I think that him and Sean Payton are just going to continue to grow together like that. So, yeah, I think that's a reality, man.
Alec, say you?
It's giving me the Kyle Shanahan system vibes with Purdy, where it's like, just don't screw it up, and he's starting to learn that. You know, he's not taking as many risks, and he's trusting his guys. He's got a really good wide receiver in Cortland Sutton as well. So he's kind of realizing these things and just trusting his reads and trusting the scheme. And you're seeing that get better each week. So I think that's kind of – I don't want to say it's the inverse for Jaden Daniels in Washington, but you're just seeing him start to fall a little bit down when it comes to playing good defenses and winning teams. So if that continues to be the trend, this is a reality. Bo Nix is going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year, and I don't believe that I'm saying that. It's kind of wild.
Well, this next one might be the most controversial one on the list, and I kind of wished that we would have gone into this yesterday with Mike, because I know he will disagree. But overreaction or reality, this season, the Chiefs are winning in spite of Patrick Mahomes, not because of him. Now, hear me out for a second. Through 10 games, Patrick Mahomes is tied for the league lead in interceptions with 11, but he's only 11th in passing yards, 10th in passing touchdowns, and yard average per depth of target is 5.9 yards. That's 34th out of 35 qualifying quarterbacks. So overreaction or reality, the Chiefs are winning in spite of, not because of, Patrick Mahomes this season.
I don't think they have spite towards him. Is that fair?
No.
I'm serious about this, because I think they all on that team still believe that, hey, man, if we just give him a shot,
I'm sure
he'll put us in position to kick a field goal or whatever it is. And so the defense is like, no, our job is to make sure that we just are close enough to win a game. But Mahomes.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, there's been, for so many years, it's like he's going to light up the scoreboard. He's going to go set records with touchdowns and yards and everything, and he is not right now. And some of the risks that he's taking are a little abnormal, because that interception he threw against Buffalo to start the game, I was like, he didn't need to throw that.
Yeah.
And why did he? And I wonder if he's pressing a little on himself because he's not figuring this thing out. But I agree with you, man. I think that's a reality, is that despite the fact that they are not offensively as good as they typically are, the team is still finding ways to win.
Alec?
It's very weird to say that this is reality.
I know.
It feels wrong. It feels almost like shock jockey, where it's like you're trying to find something negative to say about Mahomes, but it's like, no, that's true.
That's why I wanted to give you the stats, so I wouldn't sound like, hey, we're back on the AM.
It's absolutely like backed up by all the numbers, but if you just watch the games too, you can see that he's starting to suffer from an aging Hall of Fame tight end. He's suffering from an offensive line that isn't as good as when he entered the league. It's not bad by any means, but it's not as good. He's got a bunch of young receivers that are still trying to figure things out. He's got an injured running back that's making his way back. So, you know, it happens to everybody, and luckily his defense is good enough to realize that and say, hey, how about we just be really good for a few years so he can kind of take a load off, if you will.
Okay, I'm not – now, just – for the record, everyone who's missing the presence of Mike, just know that Mike is missing us as well, as this morning he sent a text, was like, hey everybody, it's Friday, and then he sent a YouTube link to that Take a Load Off.
The Weight? Is that the name of that song? Take a Load Off, Ernie.
Yeah, and I might have listened to it in the car, and is it weird that I thought of Mike? That's probably weird to say, right?
You're always thinking about Mike, aren't you?
He's sometimes, in your head now. Sometimes good, sometimes
he's in
your
bad. Head, bro.
I think that is probably a fair way to say it.
He has got you.
But by the way, for the Mahomes question from the 972, they win because of the referees. From the 817, do you think he might just not trust his receivers enough? Yes. And then from the 972, but Mahomes has made the clutch drives. And there is something to be said about that. Overreaction or reality, the 49ers will not make the playoffs as a wild card team. So that pretty much means it's win division or bust. And I know they're only a game back, but everyone is within that one game window in that division.
I think this is reality.
Woo!
And as much as I'm like, man, look, they know how to play. They know what it takes to win these games down the stretch. Their bodies might not be able to hold up.
Yeah.
Purdy's shoulder injury might put them in a bad position. Kittle, I know you were like, hey, he's got out there for the Packers because he's got to play against the Packers. But they play such a physical style, and I always say this about teams. They played a lot of football. They, you know, going as deep as they have into the playoffs over the last 3 years now, and as deep as they have in the into the Super Bowl. That's a big burden on your bodies to sort of have that. Like, their bodies aren't recovering the same way right now. So I think that they're going to struggle to stay healthy for the remainder of the season, and that's going to be a big factor for them. And then, Kevin, I know I kind of brought it up early in the season. Shanahan and John Lynch, there are whispers around that organization that people aren't happy with what they've not accomplished. And that's weird because you're like, dude, they win these games. They go to the Super Bowl. Why can't you be happy? Because they didn't win the Super Bowl.
I mean, don't you think they're going to go down with the Jets at this rate as the biggest disappointments
this year?
The NFL season?
I can see that for sure.
Now, by the way, from the 214, overreaction, I did not fire Mike, most certainly. Mike is not fired, and I did not fire him. I do not believe I have such a power to even do that. He'll be back on Monday.
Yeah, I think his wife is having a procedure.
Yes.
Is that's the way that we're saying that?
Yeah, the way Mike describes it is super weird.
Yeah, and she should be good over the weekend,
yes.
And then he'll be back on Monday, I bet.
Correct.
And then he'll be there Tuesday when we're in Addison at Buffalo
That's
Wild
right.
Wings.
He'll be there most of the day on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Peace-a-thon.
And then on Thursday, who knows?
Yeah, I wouldn't count on
okay.
it. Okay. Guys, NFL overreaction or reality. I got one more for you. Or actually, yeah, let's go ahead. The Bears will fire Matt Eberflus before the end of the season.
Overreaction. I think they'll finish out this season understanding where they are. Matt Eberflus is just good enough to keep you in a good position to get good draft picks again. I think that they'll be like, hey, look, we'll play this one out, and then we'll move on at the end of the season. But they're looking right now. They're looking to try and figure out how to make Caleb Williams better.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington off of Collins. Coming up next, let's talk with John Keim, ESPN reporter on the Commanders. We'll do it next right here on the Fan.
McLaurin, top of your screen. Looking that way, the throw. And Terry McLaurin has his second touchdown catch of the day with a head shaker against Deontay Banks.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington off of North Collins. I assure you, despite what your map app might tell you, they are indeed open. You can register to win some cool Cowboys swag, Cowboys tickets, all here at Buffalo Wild Wings. And right now on the D&M Leasing Hotline, let's talk with John Keim, reporter on the Commanders for ESPN. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing good. Are you in the midst of still watching practice right now?
Yes.
Is there any breaking information that you feel like we
No.
should tell the Cowboys? Okay, that's good.
No.
That's a good idea. That's a good decision. Has there been a lot of talk this week, because it's come up here, but not as much as I might have thought, about Dan Quinn facing Dallas again, or has that not really been too much of a topic?
No, I mean, it's come up because, you know, the obvious connection. And he talks about how much he liked his time there, how much he respects Mike McCarthy. And you talk to the players here who played there, they say the same thing about McCarthy, right? And how he took care of them, et cetera. But, like, it hasn't – it was questions for the other day, but I wouldn't say that it's been a dominant storyline, but it has been something that was asked and discussed.
John – With Terry McLaurin, he's one of my favorite receivers of all time. And Kevin, you know that about me.
I did know that.
Is he as good of a dude as he is a receiver?
I mean, yeah, and I mean, he's been very, very good to deal with. I've dealt with him since he came into the league, and he's been the same all the time. And so, yeah, and I think there's a reason why he's so respected by the players, by the coaches, by the fan base. It's because of that. So, yeah, I mean, I went to Ohio State, so I knew of him, of course, before he came here, and I would hear the way Urban Meyer would talk about him. But it's not always the case where when a guy gets here that he's the guy, like, yeah, that's exactly who he is. And I think he's one of them.
Yeah, he seems to be that guy that's like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to win, especially since he's been with a team that's had a problem doing that for a while, too.
Yeah, and I think what helps him is that he did not grow up like, you know, he was obviously a standout in high school. But when he got to Ohio State, I mean, he had to earn a scholarship there by going to a camp. A second week to earn it from Urban Meyer, right? They weren't sure. Then he gets there and he's a special teams guy and he's not the standout. So I think he's kind of always grown up having to prove himself, since he's been in college, prove himself and just do whatever and kind of keep your mouth quiet and go about your work. And that's what he's done here because there have been a lot of times in the past where he wouldn't get the ball a lot in games for whatever reason. And he never popped off. I actually think he's a really good receiver to pair with a rookie quarterback because if you're not getting the ball, he's not going to get to the huddle and start whining or whatever. And, you know, so, yeah, that's just how he's always been.
Side question about Ohio State. Are you believing in the unbelievable Indiana season and the hype, or do you think Ohio State's going to sniff that out this weekend?
Oh, who knows? They just lost another guy in their offensive line, and I don't know the impact of that yet. But what I know is that Indiana's schedule hasn't been very good. What I also know is they've beaten those teams pretty well, and their quarterback's pretty accurate, and their receivers are pretty good. And the one of the weaknesses on Ohio State's defense are the corners. So that's where you go. But they haven't seen an offense like this, so hopefully that matters. It's not – there have been a plenty of times where, like, Indiana would go there with a 5-0 record, 6-0 record, and then they finish, like, 7-5, right?
Yeah.
But they've clearly shown that they are, at the very least, a good team.
Now, back to the Commanders. Their rushing attack has great season stats, but it just feels like it's kind of slowed the last couple of weeks. Is that an offense as a whole, or do you think more specifically the rushing attack has slowed more rapidly?
I think it's probably a lot to do with, first of all, they're not converting third down, so they're not getting as many opportunities. Against the Eagles, they were running the ball okay, but they also are coming off two games where it's against the Steelers and the Eagles, two very, very good run defenses, and in one of them, Brian Robinson didn't play. So that certainly factored into as well. But I would say this, if they don't run the ball that well this weekend, then there's a problem because – as you guys know, like that's an area where Dallas has certainly struggled. So this could be a good healthy game for Washington's running attack.
Has that pairing with Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels been as magical as it seemed? Because they got on the same page pretty quickly.
They did, and I think I think one of the things that helped is that first of all, the style of the offense, they ran similar concepts early on, especially to what he did in college. There were a lot of RPOs, and I felt like Kingsbury kind of brought him along well. And then it also helped that Daniels is a guy who studies the heck out of game film, shows up early all the time, you know, first in, last out kind of guy. And I think that has helped too, but Kingsbury worked, I mean, at Texas Tech, he had Mahomes, he's been with he was with Baker for a little bit. And he obviously had Kyler when he's a rookie. And I think there are things he learned there that probably have helped him here.
My co-host does not believe that he actually has a rib injury. Can you kind of talk a little bit about the
that's what Dan Quinn told me.
What's the severity? Because I see him on the sidelines, you know, with the wrap on and everything. But what is the severity still for him at this point?
I mean, he hasn't been on the injury report in a few weeks. So yeah. He's telling people it's not inhibiting him at all. I do think, there's a trickle-down effect of that injury. And to me, the bigger part of it, and they have said it publicly, privately, is the loss of practice time. And when you're a rookie losing that time, it's a big deal. Because a couple games after the rib injury, Chicago and New York, he threw the ball pretty well. So I think it's hard. But I think, like, there is a trickle-down effect of it, right? And I, if you can't practice as much and you're a rookie and then you're facing really good teams and one of them on a short week after a very physical game against the Steelers, I think it adds up. So, but I will say this, that this, again, this, the break, having that, the weekend off, having a full week of practice, this has to be, again, a get-healthy game for him and the pass game to show that, yeah, there really is. Because if he goes out there and struggles this week, I think you have to then look at it a lot harder. Because then, because now you can at least look at it and say, well, was it practice time? Was it the defenses they're facing, et cetera? But if he, you know, this defense, as you know, has struggled. So if you're, if you have a kind of a shaky game Sunday, then there's something else going on.
How's the progression of Lattimore continuing to look? Because I know obviously they've been anxious to get him out there.
Slow. he's doing stuff on the side, but it's been slow. I have not seen him run full speed, and that's not to say he hasn't when we're not out there. That is just that when we're out there, we haven't seen it. That doesn't mean he hasn't done it. But when, like the other day, he was out there and doing some cornerback drills, just some defensive back drills, you know, ball movement drills, and he's about between half and three-quarter speed. So that's about where we're at with it. He's certainly not going to see him on Sunday. And then next week, I think, would be questionable, and then they have their bye. So it might not be until, like, the mid-December when their first game would be at New Orleans after the bye.
What do you think about the report Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter have right now that the Giants are just straight-up releasing Daniel Jones?
I mean, clearly they've made a decision to move on.
Yeah.
So, and I think it just doesn't, it wouldn't it just be really awkward in that room?
Yeah, for
point?
Sure.
And then, you know, and so, I mean, he gave what amounted to a goodbye speech yesterday.
He did.
You know, I think it just, it would be very awkward because you know you're not going to play him because the, you know, the whatever the
injury
money
guarantee.
Situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, the injury guarantee. So it's not. It really isn't surprising at this point that the next logical step is this, because he has no future there, and you may as well get a guy in there that if something happens, you can actually play him in a game, or you want to play him in a game, and not worry about injury guarantees.
I thought it was funny. Mike McCarthy said he hopes that all his former players with the Commanders now play like S this weekend. I was curious your particular breakdown, especially of Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler. I know Dante Fowler has, of course, filled up the stat sheet, but what have you thought about those two players in particular this season?
Dorrance has been solid. I think he is, you know, it's kind of who he is, right? And he dealt with it. He dealt with his own rib injury earlier this year, which was worse. It's certainly seemed like it was worse than Daniels. He's been solid. I think Dante's been the pleasant surprise because he's been in the league for a while and he hadn't posted numbers like this in a while, but the one thing he told me last week is that he's healthy, and that's made a big difference. And even in Dallas, he's playing behind really good pass rushers. Like, they didn't need him to play this much. This team has. So he's getting more opportunities, and I think that, you know, being healthy for the first time in a while, he said he feels like he can bend better. And then he's also talked a lot about, like, Ryan Kerrigan, who's the outside linebackers coach that's worked with him with the pass rushing, that he's made a difference as well. But I do think a lot of it just starts with him being healthy and this team needing him to get opportunities because Armstrong missed a few games, Cleveland Farrell, their other end, missed a few games and has had some knee issues. So they've needed him to be what he is because they didn't have a pass rush along the front without him.
Well, John, thank you very much. You can find him on Twitter at John_Keim, K-E-I-M. We really appreciate all the time and insight.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
There you go. John Keim right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's interesting. We got to break that Daniel Jones news to him while it was happening, but
he seemed prepared for it too.
But he's right because, I mean, there was talk about, like, oh, he's playing a practice squad safety or spying or whatever. But it did feel like he gave his goodbye speech yesterday. I did not realize that this would be in motion so quickly, but what's the report for people that have missed it?
Well, I think after he gave that goodbye speech, Kevin, this is what the official statement from the Giants says. Daniel came, this is from John Mara, Daniel came to see me this morning and asked if we would release him. and we mutually agree that would be best for him and the team. Daniel's been a great representative of our organization, first class every way, handling the situation. We're all disappointed in how things have worked out. We hold Daniel in high regard. We wish him nothing but the best in the future. But that part then is
high,
like,
regard as a person, not a player.
Yeah, yeah. He was terrible as a player, is what they said. But then, you know, that part of it is he requested to be released. He will go through waivers. And
nobody will pick
him. Nobody's going to pick up. That contract's ridiculous. Yeah. So he becomes a free agent. And so I'm very interested to know where that goes, because does anybody even want a quarterback that has proven time and time again that he can't play at this level? Like, this is – I don't know. He doesn't want to just sit there and rot is why he's like, hey, get me out of here.
Yeah.
But I wonder if he thinks he has other options to go be somewhere else. But it is, his time at New York is definitely done from what we can see there.
And now I need to double-check this. I thought his dead money was something like $22 million. So, I mean, obviously there's going to be a big hit involved there, but the Giants wanted to avoid the situation where parts of his contract became fully guaranteed if he, in fact, got injured. That's why they benched him. That's why clearly they weren't going to use him again this season, and I guess that's why he asked for his release. So, man, big news to start the NFL day.
And just like we always do, Kevin, David Hellman has tweeted, Jerry Jones has the opportunity to do the funniest thing. Because isn't that the first thing? Once a player's released, everybody goes, does he fit on the Cowboys?
Yeah, that.
Don't do it, Jerry. He knows better.
That
bit, he knows better.
That would be the weirdest bit ever.
Right? He knows
Right? I can't say that anymore. I would think, but I can't say that anymore. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington. Coming up next, you know what? It's been a while. Maybe we do a little wireless for this segment as well, because Desmond Bain, porn-watching high school football coaches and basketball snitches. Do any of these folks deserve forgiveness Friday? Do you? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for Forgiveness Friday, 877-881-1053. If you want to ask for forgiveness, do we need to ask for forgiveness? Like perhaps this person from the 606. They said, how come you don't ever make fun of your hero, Dak Prescott, like you do Daniel Jones? I said, that must be meant for a different show. And he said, I don't hear yourself or anyone else on the station calling him an incredible disappointment. That's not true. A failure and an embarrassment. I don't usually call players failures and embarrassments because they're not playing well. I'm not going to say nobody on our show does that, but he is not here right now. But yeah, we've talked all the time about how disappointing runs of Dak and the Cowboys have been. So that's absurd.
Yeah, and also the disappointment from years ago would be that Daniel Jones was drafted much, much higher than Dak.
Yeah.
And Dak grew out of nothing, or a fourth-round pick. He probably would have gone in the third if it hadn't been for a situation off the field. But other than that, man, yeah, I don't feel like I'm – I will say that Daniel Jones has been an awful quarterback. That's for sure.
True.
That is absolutely for sure. And Dak this year didn't have a good season before the injury.
Can I ask you a question that may or may not be about LeBron? Do people who need to do a big show and announce their departure from social media need to ask for forgiveness? Because, like, it's not an airport. You can just leave. Like, you don't have to announce your departure. And so this is specifically for LeBron. He's like, I got to take a break. There's so much blah, 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 blah. Like, I get it. But you can just, like, delete your account or stop doing it or whatever.
I kind of want airports now to be like, Corey Majors has boarded the plane and is departing in 15 minutes.
But you have to give your hashtag or your handle. So be like, @InTheMajors has boarded.
Here's the thing. Yeah, and with social media, if you just disappear, it's fine. But with sometimes if you're going to leave, like, not in a – in like a I hate this thing way, if you're just like, hey, I'm not going to be on here, so if you want to contact me, you know, if you know me, you know how to get me. That I think is all right sometimes.
Can Kevin,
because there are some people that get concerned about, hey, are you alive still?
Which, yeah, that is true.
But everybody knows how to find LeBron.
I mean, yeah. Did he just disappear from the games? Then I'd be like, yeah, what did happen with that? Somebody said, I need to acknowledge that, and I said I wasn't going to do this, that Mike is not here because he needed to take a load off.
He did.
And it's well-deserved. I do want to squash the rumor that people continue to text in. No, Mike's wife is at an actual medical facility with actual doctors and whatnot. Mike has nothing to do with this procedure.
And you know what? Quite honestly, Mike wouldn't want anything to do with a procedure, right?
He's like, too squeamish.
He knows, yeah. He knows better. He didn't. Yeah, his son had like a nosebleed, and he passed out when he saw it. So do you remember that? Or like he broke his finger or something, and he passed out?
Yes.
So yeah, Mike couldn't handle that.
Look, I get it, man. If you ever see a C-section, and they just take all of somebody's insides out, it's pretty crazy.
It is weird.
How do they know just where to put it back in?
I think the body
Medical
knows.
School?
I think the body just kind of like reorganizes.
Hold
it.
On. So you think you could just shove everything back in there, and they're like,
yeah, you don't even have to place it back in the right way.
Okay.
It just kind of the body goes, yeah, you're supposed to move here.
Now this is a complicated scenario here. Is it Tyrese Maxey? Is it Joel Embiid or somebody else? So supposedly, Tyrese Maxey complained to the 76ers brass about Joel Embiid missing meetings or being late like Zeke. Joel Embiid, so the news got out. And Joel Embiid, after the game Wednesday night, told reporters that the person who leaked the word of Philly's team meeting is a real piece of S. So is it Tyrese Maxey for bringing it up? Is it the mystery leaker, who I guess could be Tyrese Maxey? I have no idea. Or is it Joel Embiid for missing the meeting? Could it be multiple people? Where do we fall with it?
Yeah, I'll land on Embiid and the mystery person. Because
okay.
leaks, I mean, if you're going to put something out there, be the person that said it. Don't be like, hey, I'm going to hide behind this as I leak this out there. But Embiid, dude, he's shown a propensity to be lazy his entire career. There have been a lot of moments in his career that he just hasn't really cared about being the team leader that he actually is looked at. Now, Tyrese Maxey's like, look, this is my thing now. I'm going to take this on. If you're not going to take the reins of this thing, you're the best player. This might become a Shaq and Kobe kind of thing where he's like, you're the best player on the team. Why don't you be better? Why don't you want to desire to be better? And that could be a feud. Maybe it could be a feud that would drive them, but I don't know.
Now,
with those guys,
this is probably not good at any office, but I would argue, especially not at a school. I'm going to take you to, yeah, you probably guessed it, Florida.
Oh, wow.
Where there is a video allegedly showing the head football coach of Miami Jackson Senior High, Max Edwards, watching porn in his classroom while there are people in the classroom.
Now, students?
Yes. Now, first of all, I wouldn't recommend doing that when there's no students in there if you're at school. But definitely, so guess how he got caught? A student took his phone out and filmed him watching the porn.
What? What? This doesn't
don't,
make any
don't
sense.
Don't ask me why, because
I'm trying
know.
To get into the mind of a person that's like, I need to watch adult films so badly right now that while I'm Aren't in the midst bad. Of, I've assigned, yeah, no, I've assigned all these kids a pop quiz, and now it's time for me to go check out my porn. That doesn't make any sense at all. Why would he do that? He wanted to get fired. He wanted to get in trouble. He's done this before. This isn't the first time that he's done it.
Well, he's being, quote, investigated, and he's temporarily suspended.
They have video footage of it. Unless it's a deep fake.
Oh, man.
Can you deep fake porn?
Look, I'm going to make an admission. I'm not totally familiar with how the world of deep fakes work. It just, I feel like people are like, no, it's a deep fake when it's something involving them. And so if something happens with me, I feel like that's going to be my default. I'm be like, no, that's a deep fake, man. That's not me.
From the 916, Mike's wife is having a procedure just like Shohei did. And come this time next year, she'll have a 93-mile-an-hour cutter.
I mean,
that would be dope. Mike would be all about that, too.
Okay, this is a serious question, and we might need to call Mike. Let's say that Sue developed a 93-mile-an-hour cutter and made it to the major leagues.
Mike would be like, you still don't know how to pitch. You can throw, but you don't know how to pitch.
Okay,
All right.
He's like, it's going to take years for you to learn that. 99.9% of pitching is this. And he's like, I've got all these years of pitching experience that you don't have. I don't care how hard you can throw. You can't pitch yet. So he's going to – and she's a girl. Remember that?
Oh, my gosh. I mean
– women.
What?
Am I right?
Yeah, actually, Mike does.
Women, right?
Kinda, yeah, I don't know if I want to totally use that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
From the 954, shout out to my wife, Tanya, for supporting me every day. Toloing, I love you. I hope that you have gotten her to Tolo as well. Now, back to Forgiveness Friday. This is another one I'm not totally sure about. Does Desmond Bane need to ask for forgiveness because he is on the same team as Ja Morant? And
yep.
As part of a celebration, he did a finger gun salute at one of his opponents, which, by the way, his opponent did not care for that and got in his face about it. But if you're on the same team as Ja Morant, is that the celebration you should be doing?
Not thinking about it at all. I really am not. Like, it's just, I think celebrations are something that, I guess a lot of times those dudes do react in something that's planned like that, but in my mind, I'm not thinking about that at all. I don't know exactly. Was this one of those he made a shot and he's walking around doing the...
Yes.
Because what does Mike Breen does bang. Should, he can never do that with Ja Morant on the court now. From now on, he can never say bang.
Oh, that is a good
so
question.
So that's, I mean, I just, it's so involved with our verbiage and all that stuff. And I think it's just a reaction. I don't think it's a problem.
Okay, that is...
He's fine. Forgiveness granted.
Okay, forgiveness granted. Is that because you like Desmond Bane?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
But I want... This is for all people in general.
Okay.
Because the NFL's gotten rid of this altogether. They're like, you can't do finger guns anymore.
Yeah.
You don't do the finger.
Because it'll be like, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, exactly. You can't do that anymore.
You
so I wonder if all players are starting to think that way.
I think this one, text in what we're alluding to. I think this one will be easier. Wendell Smallwood Jr. is a former Philadelphia Eagles player. He faces up to 50 years in prison because prosecutors obtained approximately $46,000 in fraudulent COVID loans. And then they also found that he was running another scheme where he would be involved in different loan allocations. And so he's picked up money all over the place. And so he has fraudulent loan after fraudulent loan after fraudulent loan. And he got busted. And he used to play for the Eagles. Feels like a lot of elements for not forgiveness.
Yeah, I won't forgive him for that. The fraud part of it, like, that's just miserable, dude, to do stuff like that to people during that time, too.
He also asked for approximately $222,000 in refunds from the IRS for COVID stuff.
But I think the thing that I'm most upset with him for, of not giving forgiveness, he got greedy. If he'd have just gotten a little bit of his chunk and then got out on it, he'd been like, all right, you know, good job on you, man. You went and retired to your ranch. But he decided to get greedy with it.
You know what? That's what actually got me arrested for shoplifting.
Yeah, it did.
Back in the day.
Don't get greedy. That's what we always say when we're playing Warzone.
Me and one of my friends successfully shoplifted a box of Donruss Jumbo baseball cards from Tom Thumb. And we went home, and we watched Return of the Jedi, and we opened the cards. And then we decided we were going to go back the next day and do the exact same thing again. We got greedy, to your mm-hmm. point, and busted.
Should have gone to a different store.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't believe you didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Like, that guy probably went, hold on.
I was also
our
like
stuff's
12.
Missing. Yeah. Well, be smarter as
okay,
a 12-year-old.
Okay, that's fair. That is fair. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Thank you to all the people who texted in.
And they got it right.
Yes, they did. Coming up next, we're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington. We will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, plus robot umpires and MLB MVPs. All of it next right here on The Fan.